trying as much as possible to enjoy the change of seasons here, you know, get some time to reflect on the Lord, pray, you know, watch robins and cardinals, and even have seen some of those little finches, the yellow guys running around. It's fun. You're laughing at my finches, I know. It's like, yeah. I haven't seen them in a week or so. I don't know if they, you know, they don't like the sparrows that are coming. There's a lot of sparrows. Cats? You think it's the cats, really? I don't know. Yeah. All right. Yeah. But it's a great time of year, you know, to celebrate the Lord, to think about Him. We're going to be moving into Matthew chapter 6, and He changes, you know, in chapter 5, we talked about the depth of our walk with God, and Jesus basically talks about, you know, the unseen things, the things that people don't see, but God does see, and that He is calling us to a righteousness that is far beyond something that just people see, right? That it's got to be, we've got to be understanding that God looks deep into us. He knows attitudes. He knows, you know, deep-rooted sin. Sin at the surface, you know, that's just something that, you know, is an evidence of a deeper, deeper problem, right? So when you have sin that's popping up and people see it, you know, that's way late in the game, okay? That's like, it's like now you need serious work to be done. Jesus is saying, no, you got to get down underneath into those real deep levels that God is looking at you. And that was in regard to morality. That's in regard to behaviors. So He went through the first section and He was talking to us about behaviors. And now in chapter 6, He's turning back to the question of how we practice religion. How we practice religion. Do we do our religion in a manner that is deep, or do we do that in a very shallow way just for people to see it, see? And that's a real serious issue for us, right? So He says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen of them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And it's kind of interesting because as I was looking at this and the characterization of when you do your acts of righteousness, one act of righteousness, which we just did, was to worship the Lord, to praise God, you know, and He doesn't put that in the list because I have to say, I love to worship God by myself. I'll sing songs in my car or, you know, when I'm doing things, right? You're just working around and you start praising God, worshiping. That can be somewhat fulfilling, but I got to say, it's always better with a group of people praising God together and calling on His name together. There's always more of a strength in that. That is an act of righteousness that probably has to be public, right? But the ones that Jesus is going to talk about and talks about in Matthew 6 is that of, you know, the idea of how we help people financially or what have you, how we pray and how we fast, those kinds of things, right? The service that we do to the Lord, the ministry that we do to the Lord. And just like the other thing, He says, listen, He says, you know, if you're only doing your ministry or your worship or your religion to be seen by people, it's not real religion. It's not real. It's not true. It's not good. It's not acceptable to God. God is not looking for those, you know, for folks that want to pretend to be religious or pretend to be Christian. He's looking, again, just like the last series of issues that go deep. He wants something sincere in us. In everything that God is looking for when He's looking at us, He's looking for sincerity, for something real, okay? You know, so I mean, you know, you can go to a church and you can pray out and, you know, oh, Lord, you know, and then you go out and you don't even think about God the rest of the week, you know? That's not what God's looking for. You can, you know, tell somebody, oh, I'm fasting, and just, you know, kind of publicize it around. Oh, that's not what God's looking for. What God's looking for is a religion that is in your heart, in your soul. It's inside of you. It's not something that turns off and on depending on where you are. It's who you are, okay, and not just something you do to be seen. What the problem was, if you remember how this whole thing started, he said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. And the Pharisees were guys that did their worship, did their prayers, did things out in public to be seen by people. They were missing the mark when it came to actually worshiping God, living for God, and being God's people. So Jesus is telling us again, there must be a real depth to what we do, that it can't be just what we do here. You know, if the only time I pray is when I stand up here and pray, God says, there you have it. Now all those people, they think you're a prayer guy. Good. You have your reward, right? Okay. That God's not looking for that. God, you know, so we're, you know, we pray all through the week, right? We talk to God all through the week, that kind of stuff, right? It because it's sincere, it's real, it's in your heart. It's not just something you do for a show. Remember, the public stuff is that thing of hypocrisy. You know, being an actor, right? The word hypocrite in Greek was the word they used for an actor, you know. And he says, I'm not looking for actors. Don't need them, right? The kingdom of heaven is not going to be made up of actors. It's going to be made up of people who sincerely, honestly, truly love the Lord, and he's deep down in their hearts, right? So he begins with this thing where he says, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. James tells us that religion that God, our Father, accepts is pure, as pure and faultless as this, to look after the orphans and widows in their distress, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The idea of him picking this first is, you know, how do we treat people around us? Does God work in us to do works of mercy? The King James translates as almsgiving. Helping out people who are in need. It is a primary issue in this present world that there are people in need. There are those who have, and there are those who don't have. There are you know, sectors of our society where people are struggling, and there are sectors of our society where people are not struggling. Okay? And so when you're a Christian, God expects us to be those people who are sensitive to the needs of others, period. That is just, I wrote a book about this, Justice Matters, right? In that book, it talks about that idea that you know, what God expects from us is for us to be compassionate. God expects us to be people who can see a need and not just restrain ourselves and say, no, I don't have anything to do with that, not my problem. But we're supposed to be open-hearted, right? So, you know, another text that really deals with that is 1 John 3:16 and 17. He says, you know, basically God gave you a Savior, right? Do you know, how many of you know God gave you a Savior? God sent Jesus to die for your sins. What if God would have seen your need and said, oh, yeah, it's not my problem? Where would we be? You know, if God saw you and you know, oh yeah, you're a sinner and you've gone on your own way, you did that to yourself, not my problem. And he said, hands off, and I'm not going to help you. Where would we be? Well, I wouldn't be in church, that's for sure. You know, I'd be lost, I'd be destitute, I'd be in a place where I couldn't even talk to God or think about God, because I'd be so filled with shame and guilt and remorse, right? Yeah. Well, that's what God, so 1 John says, if I see my brother in need and I shut off my compassion, now let me put it, if I have the resources and I see my brother in need and I shut off my heart, not my problem, he says, how does the love of God dwell in you? So one of the first things that Jesus talks about when he talks about religion, when he talks about our religious practice, is how open is our heart and how merciful is it, right? And then when we do things, do we do it to be seen? In our culture, there's a lot of stuff that gets done to be seen. I don't know. You all see the ribbons, right? Everybody's got, you can have like 50 different colors of ribbons going down. Each one means a cause, right? And then you have the hypocrites, right? Who are they? The actors. And what do? They're on TV and they got their ribbon and they say, well, this one is for my cause and my cause is this. It seems like everybody today has a cause, right? And, you know, whether it's AIDS or the trafficking, human trafficking is a real hot button issue, or, you know, malaria. And I mean, they just all have their ribbons. They all have a cause and they stand up and they make a deal of, this is my cause, right? And you know, what Jesus says is that's not religion. Just so you know, that's not that, you know, people say, oh, that's so good. Yes. And now you have your applause. Now you have your reward. You've been rewarded because you put yourself on TV and you pointed to your cause and you say, I'm all about that and I'm going to fix it, right? Bill Gates, he's on this thing where, you know, billionaires need to give up half of their billions. What a guy, you know, they call it giving back. And as I say, the reason why you got to give back, you took too much in the first place, right? Okay. Well, and they do it, and they're on television with it, and they're talking about, yeah, we need to give back. We need to, you know. And again, everybody says, oh, what a good guy. Ted Turner gave $100 million, I believe it was, to UNICEF. And in his own words, he doesn't believe in God. He doesn't, you know. In his own words, he said, I just did this so I will be remembered as a good guy. And out, you know, that $100 million gift, he got what he deserved. He's a good guy. And so Jesus said, don't do it like the hypocrites do it. Don't do it to be seen. One time some guys down, they fixed up a park down the street. They put play equipment down there and messed up our football field. They had the mayor down there and they took pictures and you know, look at us, you know. And it was like, again, that happens all the time. People do, quote, good things, but they do it in front of a camera. They do it to put a PR piece together. Companies do it so that their company will be named as one of the good guys, right? That is not the religious practice that Jesus is calling us to. He's not telling us to every time we do something, get the news over here, get a press coverage. I told someone the day that Military Avenue gets press coverage and we get a spread in the Detroit, we've made a wrong turn. And seriously, I believe that. I believe that as soon as the world wants to acknowledge you and praise you, you've taken a wrong turn. I really believe that what we want to do, what our heart is to do things in front of God, to please God, to honor God, not as a public show. It's not intended to be something that is seen by people. It's not intended for PR. Anything for us, for, you know, the only reason why we might make something public is to encourage others to do likewise. That'd be it. You know, in other words, just to, you know, say to the church, hey guys, you know, the reason I wrote Justice Matters was because I wanted the church to understand why we do what we do. Why are we here? Why are we in Southwest Detroit? Why do we live in such a community? You know, why do we have food programs and tutoring programs and those kinds of things? You know, why are we reaching out to the kids? Why are we there to help adults? It's because of the issues that God pulls out in 300 scriptures. Telling us that indeed justice is important. Justice matters. It is a significant part of showing God's character. And we want to show that not for the world, but for Christians. We want Christians to realize that and practice those things. So it's a real important part of ministry. A real important part of our religious behavior is that we have compassion and we do acts of mercy. The literal translation is acts of mercy. It is, you know, you're doing, you know, out of grace, out of mercy, you're trying to help somebody. Jesus says, don't do it like they do, to be honored by men. When you do something to be honored by men and men say something good about you, you've got it. That's all you get, right? He says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So the idea is, again, these things that are done underneath, these things that are in your heart, these things that are deep inside of you. So religion is not, you know, all about being public in the sense of everything I do, you got to know it. Religion is about my service to God. My motivation is God-driven. I don't do it because you think I should do it. I do it because I think God thinks I should do it. I think because His Word teaches me to do it. His Word teaches me how to think, how to behave, how to live, right? And like I said, there are 300 scriptures that have to do with acts of mercy and being compassionate. And to not have that would say I'm not listening to God, I'm not following God. But to have that in my heart, it says that indeed I have Christ in my heart. So when I do it, I want to do it quietly. I want to do it secretly. I want to do it to Him. I don't even care if you know about it. I want God to know. I want God to see. I want God to see my actions, you know. There's the narrative in Acts chapter 10. There's this Gentile named Cornelius. And he's in his house one day. You know the story, right? An angel appears to Cornelius. And you know, he's like stunned. And there's this angel. And this angel says, "Your prayers and your gifts to the poor have risen up as a monument before God." Isn't that awesome? You ever think of that? I mean, where are you building your monument, folks? You know, where you want, you really want this world to take notice of you? You want the applause of people who are fickle? They'll like you today, destroy you tomorrow? Or do you want a monument that rises up before God Almighty? Do you want something that stands in the courts of heaven and acknowledges that here's someone, Lord, who is your child. Here's someone who belongs to you and wants you. Cornelius, you know, had this angel come and he told him, he said, "Cornelius, your prayers and your gifts to the poor have risen up as a monument before God." And he told him, "Now go get Peter." And Peter came, and Cornelius was the first non-Jewish person to receive the gospel. He was the first non-Jewish person to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He was the first non-Jewish person to be offered entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Because, again, his religion, his practice had risen up in front of God. That's really, you know, when all this is done, when we're done with this world, we're done with these bodies and these lives, when we're done with this world, right? Don't you want to have something in the kingdom of heaven? Don't you want to have, you know, some monument there to the testimony to you, about you, that your heart was sincerely with God, that you could see need and you responded to it. You could have mercy on people, and you didn't have to go tell everybody, "Oh, look what I did." He said, don't be like the hypocrites who make a big noise and sound a trumpet. Get the cameras out. We're about to do something here. But do it quietly, secretly. Not in front of people, but in front of God. That's what God expects from us. That's our religion. Our religion is something that it proves we believe in God. You wouldn't do that if you didn't believe in God. You know, you'd only do the public stuff. If you believe in God, you do things just for God. You do things just so He sees. That's because you believe in Him. If you don't believe in Him, you would never do it. You would only do it for people, right? Yeah. So let's pray that God will help us to be people who have a real religion about us that's deep. It's in our souls, in our hearts. It's who we are. It's not just what we do, but it's who we are in Christ. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that You'll help us to be people that are filled with mercy. That we would be generous as You've been generous to us. That we'd be merciful as You've been merciful to us. We'd be kind and gentle as You have been. And that we would do these things, Lord, not to show the world, but to show You that we love You, we believe You, and we want to please You above everything else. Our heart's desire is to stand before our living God and to say to You, Father, we want to be Yours. We want Your smile. We want Your pleasure, O Lord, done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.